Welcome to the Short Term Show, the show about short-term rentals and long-term wealth, with real property owners hosting real properties who are crushing it in the vacation and short-term rental space. And here's your host, Avery Carl.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to another episode of the Short Term Show. We've got a very cool guest for y'all today. A little bit of a departure from straight short-term rentals. We've got MC Laubscher, and he is a almost 25-year investor, has owned a lot of different businesses and does own a lot of different businesses. So we're going to talk about cash flow management, investing, like all kinds of really valuable information for you guys. How's it going, MC?
It's going fantastic. Thank you for having me on. I've been looking forward to our conversation.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming. So you want to just start off by telling our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. So I'm originally from South Africa. So I grew up during a very interesting time period in South Africa. And as a young man, saw a lot of uncertainty, massive changes. People didn't really know what was going on, which I didn't know at that time when I was young that was really going to prepare me for business and investing during difficult times. But I came to the United States in 2001, backpack suitcase, 100 to 400 bucks, sense of humor, sense of adventure. I ended up playing sports here up until 2007. And I had a scholarship at university in South Africa. So when I was done, I was playing in different parts of the world. And I ended up playing in a league here. While I was doing that, people travel for sports all the time and get into bad habits, video games and all card games and stuff. I was the guy on the bus and the plane reading investing books and books about business. So I came across Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which my mom actually gave it to me because they at that stage had a massive setback in South Africa. A company that they were invested in basically went bankrupt. So she shared, you know, there might be a different road for you by reading this book. And I just bought my first property 6 months later. And all of the monies that I made while pursuing my career in sports, I just used that to invest in real estate and put in my first property, single family, long-term rental. Put my tenants in there, collected the rent, paid all of the bills, and there was money left over. And I really liked that part of it because I saw cash flow for the first time. And I'm like, well, how many times can I do this? It's kind of a light bulb moment. And of course, then school starts. Shocker, people sometimes don't pay rent. Shocker, mm-hmm. People sometimes damage the property. There's all kinds of shenanigans. But that's where I started. And then I eventually invested in multifamilies, other commercial real estate, other different types of projects, even historic resorts. So I've been an investor, like you mentioned, for about 25 years. Also started several businesses. Some of them bombed. Some of them did really well. I've been in the investing and business space. And in 2015, I started Producers Wealth, a firm which we focus on serving investors and business owners. And we try to elevate just the financial well-being of business owners and their families. And that's based just on strategies that I've learned on my journey as a business owner and an investor, financial strategies, because the advice that you get just out there right now is targeted towards 99% of the people that are not investors or business owners, right? So we started a firm to serve business owners and investors in 2015, Producers Wealth. In 2016, I started a podcast, Cashflow Ninja, just learning more about different niches and different ways to generate income and how to invest and how to grow businesses. And that show is downloaded in about 180 countries, 7.5 million downloads that turn into its own financial education company. So that's where we are today. We talk alternative wealth strategies, alternative asset investing, and having a blast.
All right. Well, that's quite a resume. So over, 25 years of investing, what would you say is your favorite asset class to invest in?
Wow. Something that a favorite asset class, stuff that I can touch, feel, stuff that I have control over, and stuff that provides really good tax benefits, and that can appreciate significantly with good operations, management, and stewardship. So real estate has always been a favorite asset class of mine because I know it's there and it produces income, right? So I could throw in precious metals in there too, but that doesn't produce income. Now, there are strategies that you can produce income with it, but that's a topic for a different conversation. But I like the real stuff. I like real estate. I like precious metals. I like businesses that I run personally. I think the central theme there is real stuff and control, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, control is a big one.
Fear not saturation. When you are the cream of the crop, you will rise to the top. Come learn from me, the best in the business, voted 19-time world's greatest landlord, Luke Cashflow Carl, at stsplus.com, where you will learn to be the best in your field and the world's greatest landlord. We are teaching all the best practices in the world of vacation rentals, and we would love for you to join today at stsplus.com.
All right, so let's talk about, you mentioned earlier after you got your first investment and you've got, you know, a few rent checks coming in, that's when school started. So I think a lot of people, when they buy their first property and then something happens or something goes sideways, that they're automatically like, oh, I shouldn't have done this. I made a mistake. I failed at this. And they think that, oh, I can't do this. So what advice would you have for someone who might be in that scenario right now?
Yeah. When you're in the short-term rental business, you are a business owner. And one of the biggest challenges that I sometimes see for business owners, and especially real estate investors too, it's just in the business of real estate, is the cash flow management part of their businesses. You know, many of your listeners have probably heard that somebody started a business and the business did so well, they went out of business. And that can happen. you can scale your way to bankruptcy. And the central theme there is cash flow management. And that happened to me in my real estate business earlier on too. I didn't understand that. And I just, I had no idea how to manage cash flow. And I was just like, hey, I'm just going to keep buying properties and putting tenants in there because there's money left over at the end of the month when they pay their rent and I pay all the bills. This is fantastic. But as far as cash flow management, and a lot of your listeners with short-term rental properties will relate to this. I talk about the four seasons of cash flow. There's usually four seasons in every single business. Your summer of cash flow, that season is your highest revenue month. So if you're listening to this and you have a short-term rental business and you're a business owner, you could probably nail that month right off the top of your head. I can tell you May every year is my highest revenue month in one of my businesses. The opposite of summer is your winter. So just like with summer, if you're listening to this, you could probably say, well, this is a no-brainer. Like this month is my lowest revenue month. August is mine for one of my businesses. So you'll know that off the top of your head. So you have your highest and your lowest, but you still have all of your fixed expenses during those months. So if you still have all the bills that you have to pay as a business owner and manage and run that in your lowest revenue month than you have in your highest revenue month. So how do you square that? How do you prepare for that? How do you plan for that? Because look, it's easy to manage. It's easy to manage and run a business and your rental portfolio when money's just coming in and checks are clearing. But when they're not, now it's a little bit more challenging. So that's the big thing. And you can insert the other seasons there too, right? So you have your summer, which is your highest revenue. Then things start to slow down. You go into your fall, kind of your doldrums, into the winter, which is your lowest. And then when spring starts again, that's when it starts to pick up. And maybe you have new creative marketing ideas. Maybe you've done something to scale the business. But that leads into that leads into your summer. So one of the biggest challenges that people have is that cash flow management aspect of it. So you have to have a system, just like any other business system, just like you have a booking system, you have a cleaning system for your property and so forth. You have a acquisition system for more properties. Just so that you have all those systems, you have to have a cash flow management system. So you always have access to cash to manage it. And then also, you always have access to cash to grow and scale the business, which is the second challenge. You know, I had many conversations with a lot of real estate investors or people starting, and then they say, well, I want to become financially free through real estate, whether it's short-term rental or long-term single family or multifamily. I said, okay, that's great. And then I look at how their resources are aligned, and it's like they got all their money stuck in qualified plans and stocks. And I'm like, I can't square that. How do you square that? You're telling me one thing, but then all of your resources is positioned a different way. So for business owners, some of the biggest mistakes that I see is that they're not aligning their resources, especially their financial resources, to get their outcomes and their goals. And it sounds like kind of like, duh, but no, it happens. So if you're all in, if you're trying to grow your short-term rental business, you got to position your capital where you can access it to grow and scale your short-term rental business. So that means putting it in different places than, you know, I call it like a financial straitjacket, like qualified plans. So align your resources. You know, I always joke and say, if you look at how people diversify outside of their business and stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and exchange traded funds, ETFs, you're providing liquidity for other businesses like Apple. Yo, I love Apple stock, but I want to be financially free in real estate. Okay. Tim Cook doesn't need your liquidity, by the way, which you're providing him. Your own business in your real estate business needs it. So that's two of the biggest things. And also the other thing that I will add, the third one is, I mentioned control. You'll never generate a bigger return on what you're doing anywhere outside of your business, your real estate business or your short-term rental business. You know, giving it to someone to manage to get an average of 8% per year. Come on. We're not in the game of average. We're not trying to get average returns or be average. You're listening to the show because you're trying to do something exceptional and special. So you'll never generate that outside of what you're doing as you learn and grow and grow and scale your business.
Wow. Okay. A lot of information there. So let's take the example of, I think this would be an easy one to use in the realm of short-term rentals. So let's take like a beach property. We know, like here on the Emerald Coast, our high season is going to be March through the end of October, beginning of October, really. So like our highest month is probably going to be July. Our lowest month is going to be January every year. So I still see, though, in our Facebook groups and forums and things, every like November, December, people start posting, oh my gosh, I was so booked. I was booked solid in Panama City. I bought my property this year and we've been so booked, and now all of a sudden it's crickets, and they freak out and they panic and, oh my gosh, I'm not going to be able to make my mortgage this month. So that to me is an example of not managing your cash flow, because you know we have all these tools when you're buying properties that you can see. You can use AirDNA, you can see when the seasonality is, and you know, common sense too. You know, people are in school in January. People aren't going on vacation to the beach in January, unless, you know, they're going out of the country, like to the Caribbean or something. But for the most part, January is not going to be the high season at a North Florida beach. So what would be your advice for getting started with proper cash flow management when it comes to, you know, a seasonal vacation rental property?
You have to build up cash reserves. I call it like a war chest. And usually that's like 6 to 12 months that you just put away. And that's always there for you to access. That's a buffer. And it's a sleep well at night account, because you're going to sleep really well knowing that that's there. And then the second question then becomes, well, where do I put that? You could put it in, you know, banks is obviously one. If you look at outside of qualified plans, which is a straitjacket for your money, like I mentioned, for this business, if you're looking for other objectives that you want to accomplish, you could do that with those. But I'm talking from a business perspective. So you, when you look at other options, banks come in, bonds, and then insurance carriers like life insurance, which a lot of people don't know about. So, but banks at this stage, I mean, how I look at this is like, wow, we had 7 banks go under after Silicon Valley. We had 11 on a downgraded by Moody's rating agencies, 10 on a watch list. And by the way, the FDIC only has 2% of the cash reserves that they need to cover all of the deposits that they've insured. Talk about cash flow management there. So that doesn't give me a good warm and fuzzy feeling. And the reason why they're in trouble is bonds, which is a lot of people have put it there because you just generate a nice consistent return and you could usually place it as collateral to get lines of credit against, right? But that's the reason why banks are in this problem to begin with, because you had rates spike and just basically cut the value of the bonds which they're holding in half. And we're still going to see a lot of chaos because of that. The fund is still coming. But where else would you put it then? So what I've done for the past 15 years is we look at mutual life insurance carriers. Now, when you say life insurance is almost like a 4-letter word, it's a really bad word. But that's where the wealthiest families have kept their capital. Why do they keep it in very special designed life insurance contracts with mutual life insurance carriers? Well, mutual life insurance carriers have been around for 170 years. They've turned a profit every single year for 170 years. You could structure these policies where you have guaranteed access to your money at any given point of time. Hard lesson I learned in 2008, 2009, when I had HELOCs pulled on me. Guaranteed access to lines of credits, pretty big one. So you have guaranteed access. Your money is also guaranteed in there. It's guaranteed to grow tax-free, and your dividend's about 6%. And then, of course, you can access that at any given point of time to pay mortgages, you know, cover the bills, the fixed overhead in the slow seasons. And when you do, if you keep working a system, you're going to build up enough capital in those specifically designed policies that you could use at any given point in time for down payments for your next property and just keep rolling it in. So, and combine the lending that you would get from a different source too, right? So you could use that as a down payment. But that's what I would have people start with, a system of say, okay, I need to put away 6 months minimum. And like I said, now, especially, you know, we're encouraging people to have 12 months of cash reserves at any given point in time. But have that in place. So you can always tap into that when you need to pay mortgages, expenses. Maybe there was some damage done to a property. So if it's a beach property, or, you know, you're on the West Coast of Florida, your property is, you might need some cash to fix things up from time to time too, or even upgrade it. So that's the biggest thing, is have a system where you build up these reserves that you can always have guaranteed access to them when you need it most.
This episode is brought to you by the Premier Short-Term Rental Facebook group. Short-term rental, long-term wealth. We have nearly 50,000 members. This is the biggest independently owned and operated SCR Facebook group, and it has been curated by yours truly, Cashflow Carl. Join us on Facebook. Search the groups for short-term rental, long-term wealth. That's short-term rental, long-term wealth on Facebook. Are you having trouble trying to decide which market to buy in? No problem. That's just one of the many live sessions we offer in Short-Term Shop Plus. Everything you need to know about buying and managing short-term rentals from anywhere in the world, right at your fingertips. You'll also get early access to our world-famous Management Monday sessions, live each and every Monday. Don't delay. Turbocharge your generational wealth today. Join us at stsplus.com or stsconsultation.com for a live call with more info on Short-Term Shop Plus.
So, do you mean like a whole life insurance policy?
Yeah. So people have heard of infinite banking, bank on yourself, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. That's what I'm talking about. I've done infinite banking for 15 years. And people ask me, what's the number one thing that you've done as a real estate investor to make move the needle? And I said, that's the one thing. If I have to look back, because I was pretty good at finding properties and buying them and putting people in them. But like I mentioned, then I run out of cash. And then now I'm back on credit cards again, because people always told me cash is trash. That's yeah. I listened to all the gurus. So yeah. That's how I ran it. I was a young guy. So until I came across a friend, he came from a very wealthy family, went to lunch with him and his team. And I started to see that, hey, although my friend's family was a founder and a shareholder of a private bank, they warehoused all of their cash in life insurance, the family's money, because of the guaranteed access. So that's what I'm talking about. It's a very specifically designed dividend paying whole life insurance policy with a mutual life insurance carrier, specifically designed for early high cash value. And the reason why you prefer that is because that's a tax-free bucket too. It's guaranteed tax-free. And then it plays into other things too, right? Tax-free income down that line. There is a death benefit because it is life insurance. But from a business standpoint, a business owner, also, if you think about it, you know, it answers the question, what happens to you, your family and your business if you pass away or become disabled? A lot of people can't answer that question. So it ties into a lot of different planning and strategies. But from a cash flow management and a cash warehousing standpoint, it's my number one go-to strategy that I've done for the past 15 years.
And for people who are like, oh yeah, that sounds really interesting, let me look into this. How do they find out more about this? How do they find these types of policies? Who do they call? How do they research? All that.
Yeah. So I just wrote a book, Get Wealthy for Sure, the number one financial strategy for business owners to multiply wealth predictably. It was a number one bestseller on Amazon in two categories. But in the book, I share exactly how to set this up, what it should be, what it should look like, how you can use it, and different types of strategies. And I talk from a strategic point of view for business owners of exactly how to utilize this. So if your listeners are interested, right now we're giving away a paperback copy. So all they have to do is to go to getwealthyforsure.com and request a paperback copy, only pay for shipping, and we'll ship it out to you. But it's getwealthyforsure.com. And if folks are interested in deep diving on that, there's a lot of rabbit holes on the internet, but we've created some pretty good educational content on this specific strategy. They could just go to yourownbankingsystem.com.
Okay. yourownbankingsystem.com. Awesome. I'm going to check that out myself. I've interviewed a number of people about this on this show. I've actually read a book about it probably about 10 years ago. I don't remember what it was. Clearly it didn't resonate well enough. It's something that I've always been interested in, but I've never truly followed through on. So you've reignited that interest. I'm definitely going to go pick up one of your books.
Yeah. I think one of the big things for business owners and for investors in this, and this is what really like was my light bulb moment, is when you set up this policy and you fund it and you build up all this cash value, when you access it and you have guaranteed access through it, it's actually done through a policy loan. So you access it tax-free. And usually your dividends inside the policy is at 6%. Your policy loan is around 6%. Now, why would you want to do that? Well, you never actually touch the principal and the money that's growing tax-free inside the policy. So you have uninterrupted compounding inside of your policy, tax-free. And then you get to use that at 6%, which is probably a better rate that you're going to get from a lot of lenders right now to utilize in your business and grow it. Now, if people are listening to this, I know if you're doing this correctly in your short-term rental business or any other business, you're going to generate a much bigger return than 6%. So you're going to generate, you know, 20, 30, 40. And I mean, I can share some of the success stories of clients, what they generate, but the spread is what you make. So your cost of capital is 6%. You're generating, you know, 20, 25, 30% in your business. And then you're just repaying the loan. At the same time, your money's growing tax-free in that policy. So your money is doing so many different things simultaneously, at the same time, which is the goal. You know, everybody says you got to have your money work for you. Don't just work for money. That's great. But have your money do as many different things simultaneously, all in alignment with what you want to do and what you want to accomplish.
Love that. So we're to the final three questions of the show, and then we'll get all of your follow your social media info for everybody to follow you. So we ask everybody these three questions. I'm really interested to hear what you have to say because you're coming from a little bit of a different position than a lot of our guests. So first question, what advice would you give 20-year-old MC?
The best investment that you can make is in yourself. I think we always, and your second in your family and then your business, we always look outside of ourselves for things. Oh, I got to buy a doggy coin to make a lot of money. It's like, no, invest in your skill sets, your capabilities, your mindset, grow your networks. And that's going to end up in the long run, that's going to be the best thing that you can do. So I think when you're starting out and you're young, you're always thinking about, okay, what's the next best thing, or where can I put money to get a moonshot? There's no get rich quick. There's only get wealthy for sure. And part of the get wealthy for sure strategy is increase your skill sets, your capabilities, your mindsets, and grow your networks.
All right. Very good advice. And next question, kind of similar, but different. What advice would you give a new investor who's looking to get started today?
Yeah, I would say a new investor to get started today is, you know, one of the things that I've learned in my life is to view the world through the lens of a bank and a banker. And the second thing, through the lens of a life insurance company. And people would say, that's kind of an interesting take. If you understand how the game works, and it's basically Monopoly, if you think about it. We're playing Monopoly just in real life. Who do you want to be in the Monopoly game? You want to be the banker at any given point in time. So you got to see the world through the lens of the banker and be the banker in all the different transactions. And then the second thing is risk management. Risk management is one of the most important things. And that is basically the business of life insurance and any insurance carrier. So to see how they look at opportunities, because most people don't know this, life insurance carriers is actually one of the biggest investors in real estate, if not the biggest one in the United States. So, and they've underwritten most of the biggest projects. So, how they look at things. They're in the risk management business, so you got to protect your downside. So be the banker and implement proper risk management in whatever you do. That's my two things that I would share with any new investor.
All right. And last question, what's your favorite book that's impacted your mindset?
I've mentioned Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. That's a great one. The Creature from Jekyll Island, by G. Edward Griffin is a follow-up on that. Not just Robert Kiyosaki's book, but a follow-up from Robert shows you in Rich Dad, Poor Dad, the game, and a new way of looking at business and investing and how, what the rich do, what the middle class and the poor does not do. What G. Edward Griffin does in The Creature from Jekyll Island is he shares with you how the entire global financial system is built, how it works, and how it's set up. And if you don't know this as an investor, it would be the same thing as a fish swimming in water and doesn't understand what water the fish is swimming in, right? And what type of water it is, salt, fresh, and so forth. So you're operating in this, so you might as well know how it works and how it was built and how it was set up. And I'll throw one more there just for okay. An added bonus. Becoming Your Banker by Nelson Nash is one of my mentors, and that's how he shares about the infinite banking concept is in that book too.
All right, great ones. And last, if our listeners want to follow you, we already talked about how they can pick up your book, but if they want to follow you on social media, maybe sign up for any courses that you guys might offer, how can they do that?
CashflowNinja.com has, we've covered over 100 different alternative asset investing niches. And there's about 30 different alternative wealth strategies on there in our blogs, our podcasts, and so forth. And I'll just mention again, getwealthyforsure.com. If you want a copy of my book, Get Wealthy For Sure, just go to getwealthyforsure.com and request a paperback copy. Only pay for shipping. And if you want to dive into the videos already, you can just go to yourownbankingsystem.com.
All right. Well, MC, I learned a lot today. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.